As I walk through life, as I live life, now that I'm I'm on my late 30s, I find myself tired of the same old stuff, the same old result, and the same old things. I mean, and I am ready for something new. Aren't you ready for something new? We are all ready for something new to take place in our lives, but new is scary, and new often comes in the form of open doors and closed doors. And usually that's how it goes, right? Something new comes up, it's an open door, or something, if the door closes, and then, you know, something changes in us. And let me tell you, change is always a scary thing. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes that change is a scary thing. And we are tired, we want something new, but man, we are so scared of that road between old and new. We are scared. We are all tired of the same old. We want new you, new us. We are tired of being fragile and weak, and we want to be resilient. We want to be strong, and we are tired of being a control freak and worried all the time. We want to live like a hassle-free life. How many of us want to live a hassle-free life, right? We are tired of being overwhelmed by fear and chaos, and we want to be rescued. News means change, and change happens with a new perspective, and a new perspective leads us to a new radical understanding of life's most common situations. I hope that this series will encourage you and broaden your perspective on how God acts in the midst of life's most difficulties, more difficult times. Because we are all ready for something new. Just a few months ago, Laura and I, we had the privilege on a Saturday to get the kids, wake them up early, put them in the car, and we went to Hocken Hills. How many of you guys have been to Hocken Hills, right? It's a beautiful place. Since we moved to Ohio, everybody's like, Sam, please go to Hocken Hills. It's great. It is great. And it is awesome. And I don't know if you know this, but you can get lost in Hocken Hills, right? They give you a map, a colored map, you right? You're like, this is the trail, and the trail is yellow, the trail is green, the trail is red. And you can still walk on a brown trail that you don't even know existed, right? It's not in the map, but you walk in the darn thing. That's exactly what we did. Like, we went there. I'm not joking. We were scared. I mean, you don't. Okay, now I'm making fun of my family here because we are completely nature unskilled. Is that a thing? Right? We are completely nature unskilled. So we are walking on this trail, and our phone stopped working. I don't know if you know this. Verizon doesn't work up there. All right? Right, so we are walking in this trail, and we're like, we are lost. We're walking, and there's no yellow, there's no green, there's no red, nothing of that. And it's like these brown things on the trees, because they paint the trees, right? And we're like, we're lost. It's not in the map. So Laura's like, let's Google it, right? When you're nature unskilled, what do? You Google it. Well, your phone's not working. There is no Googling. Right? So now we're hearing noises in the things, and I'm like, oh man, you know, guys from my culture don't survive on nature like that. You know, so we were like, it was not fun. But okay, I'm completely out of the thing here, okay? So we took the kids to Hocken Hills and we to walk the trails, and we did that for 13 miles. It took us all day. We just walked around, and it was great. And we saw the caves, and we saw waterfalls, and there was a little forest thing. And here's the thing I learned while there: the path had been designed in separated stages. Do you remember that? Like there is different stages, different colors, and even different vegetation depending on the path you are. The map had different colors, and when you get to the end of one part, it can feel like that the path was over. But when you kept on walking a little more, a whole new section of path begins. So you're walking, and out of a sudden, you feel like, whoa, I think it is over. And then you give a little bit more steps, and boom, there is a new path, a new thing for you to walk. And I think that this is a great picture of what life is all about. I think life is made of open doors and closing doors. And so many times we're walking through the path and it feels like there is a door is closing and the end is near and we start to freak it out. And God is like, no, just stop. Don't stop walking. Give a little extra step and something new is going to happen. There's something new right through the new door. There are times in life when things come to a sudden stop, right? Maybe a relationship comes to an end. Maybe you're in a faithful relationship and that comes to an end. Maybe a death, there's a death in the family. You have a relationship with that person and that person passes away and that you have the sudden stop in relationship. Maybe it's a career opportunity. You think you're thriving and you think life is going well, and out of a sudden your boss walks into your desk, into your office, and handles you a dismissal note. Maybe it's a dream that is cut short. But let me tell you this, that is very important. Just because something comes to an end doesn't mean you should stop. When God ends one thing, He usually has a whole new stage for you to walk into it. You have heard this, I said it before, when one door closes. See, God is in the business of opening doors, but not just any door. He wants to open better doors for you, for His people. And so many times we're so caught up in the doors that was closed that God is like, listen, there is something new. I want to do something new in your life. And for the new to happen, doors need to close and doors need to open. Brian Houston, the pastor of Hillsong, he says this, the end of an era, it is not the completion of a destiny. I love that quote. Because so many times when a season ends in our lives, we feel like that the world is ending. And God's like, no, the world is not ending. Revelation is not coming to fruition quite yet. It's just a little change in your life. Just because a chapter is over doesn't mean that the story is finished. And so many times we are proclaiming finish when God is like, I am making something new. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is described as the beginning and the end. Isn't it? It is easy for us to only see Jesus as the beginning of a new opportunity or a situation, but we need to learn to also see Him at the end of it as well. I love Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. I'll be reading from the Voice. Throughout this whole sermon series, I'll be reading from the Voice. The translation of the church called the Voice. And this is what God is telling Isaiah and is telling you and I today. And I find this verse to be refreshing. This is what God says, for I am about to do something new. I am about to open some doors and I'm about to close some doors. That's the business that I am in, of new things in your life, in your path, in your relationships, in your professional careers. I am about to do something new. And He says, see, I have begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a path through the wilderness. I love that verse from Isaiah 43. What is that one? 43:19. I have a different one here. Do you have a different one? Yeah, that's the one, boy. Thanks, Eden. It's my mini me up there. This is what He says. We'll study that one later, but this is the one I really want to pay attention right now. It's this one here. Watch closely. I'm preparing something new for you. Listen. God is so cares so much for you. He's like preparing something new for you. So many times we think God's inactive in our lives, inactive in our relationships, or in our career, or in our finances. God, He's not. He's preparing something new for you. It is happening right here and right now, even as I speak, and you are about to see it. I'm preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none. And I love that part. Here's the thing, right? We always read verses like these and we focus on the good aspect of it. We focus on the good of it, right? So it's like God is preparing something. He's going to make a way. You know, He's going to have the water flow. But what we don't see is that is the parts that we don't focus on, which is like the word desert and where there is none, right? Like for you to get something new in your life, where there is some changes, there is a path that you walk into that is not as pleasant as the blessings that you get. Before a closed door and an open door, there is the hallway. And many of us need to learn how to praise God while walking in the hallway. We are so focused on praising God when the door is open or crying to God when the door is closed. But here's the thing. The difference between a faithful Christian and a not one is that faithful one praises God in the hallway, between doors. He's lifting his hand and he's praising God for what is to come and what has just ended. And we need to be the kind of Christians that understand being in the hallway, it is a good thing. It is a place that we can get closer to God. I want you to remember today that God doesn't end one thing without starting something new. He doesn't. He doesn't start one thing without And one thing without starting something new. And that's the verses that I was before, that I was reading before, that he says, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness." And so many of us, here's the thing, and God is doing, He's already moving, He has already begun, and the problem is not that He's not doing anything or that He's doing something. The problem is that we don't perceive, we don't see what God is doing. We don't understand it. We don't recognize it. Not because He's not demonstrating it. It's because we are stubborn. Laura and I, we are not strange to open and close doors. We are not. We have been together for 16 years, and we had a decent history together. And in these years, we have had a lot of closed and open doors. And let me tell you, these open or closed doors, there's a lot of pain and hurt and suffering and frustration and desperation and cry that comes with it. It does. I remember as I was preaching the first service, I started to remember all these open and closed doors in my own personal life, right? In our life as couples, we moved from Rochester to Lincoln, where God opened a new door. But man, it was something new, it was something great, it was something good. It was good for us. I'm partially here before you because of that open door. But man, the pain and the hurt of leaving people behind and leaving people who trusted and invested in you, it was horrible. It was painful, but new always hurts. It is not about the new. It's about what you do while you walk in from the old into the new. I had a good friend of mine about a year ago. He called me and he talked about how he has this new two good great open doors that is right about to open for them, and they were going to walk, him and his wife, they were going to walk through it, and it would be awesome, and they would change their lives forever. It would be a great change. And his wife and him, they saw the openings, they prayed about it, and they sought godly counsel for it, they looked for clarity, and they were convinced that God had indeed open up the doors, swung those doors open, and clear up the path, made them straight for them to walk through it. As they're about to walk through those doors, the doors close, right? it shut down them. And he told me in that conversation that he's like, that was hurtful, Sam. That was hurtful. It rocked our world apart. It took the breath away from us. It just, we were just not in a good spot. We were just not in a good spot spiritually, emotionally, physically. It really, to see those doors being shut closed for us was disappointing, was frustrating. A few weeks ago, I talked back, he called me back, and we were talking. And he told me this, I quote him, "The resounding thud still resonates in my heart. The pain still feels very real." And I can identify with that, can't you? Can you identify with that? Doors being closed. It happens. We have all been there. We all have felt the pain. We have all experienced the confusion, the hurt, both spiritually and emotionally. When doors close, when a season comes to an end, it is hurtful. And there must be there's so many things in our lives that comes to an end, doesn't it? And it causes us to second guess ourselves and to question God. One of the closed doors that was very, very, that really marked our relationship, Laura, my relationship, was when she was pregnant, 26 weeks old, and she was pregnant for 26 weeks, and she lost a baby, right? We went to for a regular check-in, and the baby has no heartbeat, and then the whole thing starts to unveil, right? Like you had these dreams with this kid, and you're gonna he's a boy, and he's gonna be like beautiful. He's gonna be another soccer player. We think about the identity, what kind of character he's gonna take. He's gonna be social. He's gonna be shy. Like all these dreams of parents, right? What he's gonna be, and we want to invest and all these things. That boom, suddenly stop. Now you're gonna give birth to a kid, and she gave birth to him. We held him in our hands, and we prayed together. We prayed as a family, and through the whole sudden stop, we started to ask some hard questions. Questions that I ask myself. Questions like this one: are we that out of tune with God's will? Usually, when a door closes, we ask questions like this: are we out of tune with God's will? Did we misunderstand his voice through it all? This one is a normal one. Did we do something wrong? What was it that we do wrong? Why the stop? Why the shutdown? What have I done wrong? Another one is, did we mess up so much that God changed his mind and shut the door, stopping us dead in our tracks? Did I mess up so bad that God is now out to hunt me, to punish me? What is the deal here? Man, walking in the hallway is hard. I understand it. But the Bible asks us that through the hallway, between open door and closed door, that we would praise the one who opens and closes those doors. Those questions can drive us mad, cause us to overanalyze the situation and come to all kinds of conclusions that are not grounded in Scripture, are not truth, are not biblical. I have learned to ask better questions like, where do we go after a door is closed? What can I learn from it? And in my Christian walk, I have learned four lessons of opening, closing doors that are biblical lessons that I'd love to share with you as you walk through lives through closed and open doors. And the first lesson is this. It is no-brainer, nothing that you haven't heard before. It's just a reality of a check, reality check kind of thing. This is the first one, is God is in control, not me. We want to be in control of everything. I think I know the best for my life. We usually want to be in control because we fear that God doesn't have the best interest for us. And I think this is one of the biggest things for us in the Christian walk, is that we are always in control. We don't think that God has the best of interest for us. But for us who have given our lives to Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, you surrender to Him. There is this white flag that you raise and you say, God, I am no longer in control of my life. You are. We go back to Carrie Underwood and say, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. I know you like it, so I'll do it again. One more time. Right? So there's this surrender that comes with giving your life to Jesus. And so many people are giving their life to Jesus but holding to it. It's like, Jesus, are you going to do what I approve of you doing? Because, you know, if you're going to do some things that I don't think it is cool, I am not willing to surrender to you. And let me tell you, that's not called surrender. That's called you are still in control of your life. And Christians, and Jesus tells us on Luke 9, listen, if you're going to follow me, you got to have to die for yourself. You got to let it go, pick up your cross, and you follow me. You don't get to do your stuff anymore. Now, you don't have to be a follower of Jesus. You can be a follower of anything you want. But followers of Jesus surrender their life to Him. We are no longer in control of our lives. He is in control. And let me tell you this, there's freedom in knowing that the God who created you knows more about you than you know yourself. We are daily learning about ourselves, aren't you? Self-awareness is big in leadership aspect of teachings today. Everything that I have learned in the last 6 months on leadership out there has to do with self-awareness. You need to learn who you are. Need to learn about a few things about yourself if you want to be successful. So we are often learning from one another, and God is like, often learn about ourselves, and God already knows it all, and He knows what is best for you. And Isaiah 41:10 says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I'll help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And let me tell you, there's comfort in these verses for me. There's nothing to fear. God is with me. I mean, and there is closed doors that comes to our lives, right? It might be a divorce. You're going through a divorce and that relationship just come to an end and you're freaking out. It might be a healthy thing. It might be cancer. Cancer comes to the door and is knocking there and you're freaking out. I understand that. It might be a death in the family. It might be a loss of your job. It might be a job that never comes. It might be an end to it. But you ought to remember what Jesus say. The God says in His word in Isaiah says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is with us. We will go through difficulties, but the difficulties are never going to beat us because God is with us. I love the word dismay. It's the word for melting. Like, don't have your heart being melted. Don't allow your heart to be melted by the difficulties that you face. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I will hold you with my righteous hand. The second thing that I have learned from the Word of God is this, is we ought to take one step at a time. We ought to take one step at a time. We take life in that way. We rely on God to light the way step by step. Very, very seldom does God shine the light farther down the path that you need. It's like we went on vacation, woke up 4 in the morning, it was dark outside. I turned the car on, the Shrine First allowed us to borrow their vans, and I turned the van on, and I turned the light on, and it shows me what, 100 feet ahead of me. It doesn't show me from here to the destination that I was going, and so many of us, we want God to show us the whole path. It's like God's like, listen, you can't handle the whole thing. Let's go 100 feet at a time. Listen, growing is your growth, your faith growth, your growth in faith is a choice, and it's not made by chance. And the choice here is the choice to trust Him every step of the way. He is trustworthy. Psalm 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and our strength. Even present help in times of trouble. By definition, a refuge is a safe place. When the Bible describes God as a refuge, it is saying that God is our safe place. When we need protection from something, He would be there to protect us. And so many of us are using other things to protect us. And the question is, what is your protection lately? Knowing God as our refuge enables us to trust Him more freely. We need to fear, we need not to fear situations or people who threaten us, our well-being, our physical and spiritual well-being, because God is our shelter. Listen, I need you to get it, to understand this. There is no situation we will ever face that is out of God's control. So the best place to be is always by His side. Always. We don't have to understand it. He leads us, why He leads us, the places that He leads us. We very rarely understand it. We question why some doors open and we question why they're closed. We wonder why the door was open in the first place. We question and wonder, and the cycle goes on and on and on. And if we allow God to take over, and if you take one step at a time, I think we'll find freedom in that. The third thing that I want to briefly talk to you about is God uses closed doors to teach us something. Closed doors refine us. They shape us. They chisel away more of what doesn't look like Christ in our lives. I have found that at times a closed door has a mirror on it, facing me, making me examine myself, showing me some of the things about myself that I didn't know before, some part of my character that needs work or a facet of my spiritual life that requires some attention. Sometimes God closes a door to reveal something about our relationship with Him, to force us to draw near to Him, seek refuge and direction and answer that comes from Him and Him alone. Good friend of mine, he started a new business, and when he started a new business, he was praying, asking God for direction, and asking God for all this, you know, for God to open doors. Father, you know, I need this contract if I'm going to be able to take my company from this level to this next level. And we were praying with him. I was praying with him. We were daily praying together, asking God to be invested in his business, for him to run a godly business. He was a church, invested at church, volunteered everywhere, giving of tithing and offering. I mean, the guy was doing great. And God started opening up doors for him, open doors. And his business went from a small little business to a bigger business. And as soon as that happened, what happened? God? Wow, gee, I'm going to go over here now. And so he started like partying at his house and people drinking and drunkenness and like there's no moral things anymore. And Jesus is not the focus of his family, of all his life. And he's trying to get ahead on his workplace, cutting corners to make more money. And things were just going south until the day that God started closing some doors in his life. He calls me back and Pastor Sam, like, God's closing all these doors. And I was like, what about your character that was revealed when some doors were open and now that some doors are closed? See, so many times we are open, asking God to open doors that we not even can handle walking through it. And sometimes it is not God opening, it is us coming there and kicking those doors open so that we can walk through it, so that we can feel whatever we want to feel. And when we see those doors being closed, God is like trying to show us that we don't have what it takes at times to walk through the doors that we want to walk through it. Doors. Open or closed doors teach us something about ourselves. The fourth and last point I want to make you is this. God is more interested in our relationship with Him than really opening and closing doors. I love Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 that says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Whether walking through an open door or pausing to regroup at a closed door or even through the hallway, doors drives us to seek God's guidance and His will. But it is God, but God is more interested in strengthening our relationship with Him than He is really about opening or closing doors. And we need to follow suit with God. Often we pray for God to show us His will, to show us which door to take. We ask Him to open doors for us and to close some doors. But reality is we should just be resting in Him by seeking Him first and not doors. And so many times I think the pursuit of the Christian is open doors or closed doors rather than God Himself. We fail to realize that discerning which door to take is more about our relationship with Him than He's revealing what is behind door number one or door number two or door number three. I have learned lately to pray in this way. Lord, I used to pray this way. Lord, show me Your will. I have changed my prayer to like, Lord, help me to do Your will. I have plenty of experience with closed doors, and they rarely close quietly. Often they hurt, they frustrate us, they bring a lot of pain and suffering, even causing lasting damage at times. But I'm learning that it doesn't have to be that way. If our perspective is right, if our trust is in the One who both opens and closes doors, and if we focus more on our relationship with Jesus Christ and less on the doors, we will see every closed door as an opportunity to learn something about ourselves and about God. We will learn that every open door is an opportunity to further our relationship with Him and to know more about ourselves. And in the end, when faced with the next closed door, we will realize that in the Christian walk, closed doors are just as important as closed doors, because they're all about what God has new for us in our lives. He's making us new every morning. He offers new mercies to us, which come in the newness of closed doors and open doors. Aren't you tired of your old selves? Aren't you tired of your old self? Isn't there some doors in your life that you need shut? Isn't there some doors in your life that you need open? We all want a new you, right? Let's praise God in the hallway. Let's learn to welcome the change that comes from closed doors and open doors. Throughout this sermon series, I'll be giving you opportunity to be prayed over it. This next song, after the sermons, we sing a song usually, and that song is called the Invitation Song. And Laura and I and the elders, we're going to be up front and would love to pray for you and with you. Maybe you're going through an open door right now that you're uncertain. Do you need discernment? Should I walk through this here, God? And you need prayer over. Maybe there's some doors that are closed that's frustrating the heck out of you. You are hurt by it and you need God to speak to you. You want to hear from God because of that. We would love to pray with you. Maybe you're in the hallway. Maybe you're in the hallway and you are crying, but you want to go from crying to praising. And we want to pray with you and for you. Now, I know that's, you know, not part of our culture of in the last 3 years, praying for people, right? And we don't usually do that and because we're afraid of being judged. And I understand that. I hate being judged because we have said many times here, we're imperfect people living perfect life in a messy world. Listen, if you're going to be judging people, then that's a problem. I'm going to go as far as to say you don't belong at Delaware Christian Church. We want a safe place where we can cry out to God and we can open up ourselves and we can share our messes and we can be prayed over because we know of a God who cares, who are moving, who are creating something new in us, and we want to participate in it. So we are afraid of coming up front to be prayed by the pastor or by the elders because, oh, people in the pew is going to be judged. Don't allow the enemy to take away your blessings from you. Okay? But if you're going to be the one sitting there judging, then don't do that. Not here. There are some other places out there you can go. So there must be openness here. There must be a safe place. So we want to pray for you if you'd like to be prayed over. So I'll pray. The worship team will start the song and we'll go on. Father God, we are so thankful by the open and closed doors that you provide for us in our lives. There's so much of you that we need to learn from those opens and closed doors. And I pray that today will be the beginning of this new us, where we trust you more, that we praise you in the hallway, but most importantly, that we walk through the doors that you have opened to us and celebrate with the doors that you have closed. We love you, Jesus. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and worship.